God's truth, when it's running through my heart and mind, when I believe it and act upon it, it separates me in a sense. It makes me more like Christ because He is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we are trusting in Christ and His truth is manifest in us, we will be more like Him. We are to be dwelling on whatever is true.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina.
And Greg, give us a preview of what we'll see today.
Well, Dave, today we're going to look at what God expects us to think. We're going to look at a biblical mindset. And so with that in mind, let's get right to it and turn to Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to be looking at verse 8.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
These things that we are to pay attention to. This is an amazing verse because the Lord God, through the Apostle Paul, gives us some basic categories of things to think about. Categories of things to think about. And within that, it gives us categories of how to renew our mind, you see? Because I might be thinking about things that aren't honorable. And I start to think, wait a second, that's not honorable. I need to think about what is honorable. What is honorable about this? What is honorable, right? And so we're going to see it as we look through these very practical things. Now, we are to be renewing our mind. And this is not positive thinking, as some would say, just to take a circumstance and make it into a positive thing in my brain. That's not what this is saying. It's not saying, you know, that we have to use the power of positive thinking or whatever that might be, that false thought. What it is seeing things from a different perspective, seeing things from a godly perspective, and that's where we're going to have peace. That's where we're going to function rightly. That's where our behavior is going to manifest. The fruit, as we heard read earlier in James, the fruit of wisdom, right? That pure fruit, that good fruit that comes from thinking rightly, okay? When you got stinking thinking, it's going to come out in your actions. It's going to come out in your thoughts. It's going to come out in your words, right? But when our hearts are renewed, when we've confessed those times that we've failed, when we've confessed the wrong thinking, humbled ourselves before God, trusted in Him and started to believe the right thing, then there's going to be the fruit of righteousness in the midst of our lives. So this is an amazing verse. So what are these things? Let's take a look at them. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute. If there is any excellence, and the way the Greek is written here, and there is, it's an assumed true. If there is anything worthy of praise, and yes, there is, let your mind dwell on these things. And we're being commanded, continually dwell on these things. Now, it's not saying we are these, you know, people who don't think about the reality of this earth. It's that we apply God's truth to everything in the midst of our lives, and we renew our hearts and minds. We're commanded to do it. And notice there are six whatevers there. Whatever is, whatever is, whatever is. This literally means all that or everything that is this, then dwell on this. Everything that fits this category, this is what you should be doing. And then there are two summary statements that begin with those terms, as I mentioned, if. If this is, and it is. If this is, then let your heart and mind, or let your mind dwell on these things. Now, you might remember from last week, we looked at the first one in depth because I believe it's the foundation of all of what we should be thinking about. Look at verse 8 here. It says, whatever is true. Folks, we dwell on a lot of falsehood. I'll tell you that right now. And when you think about the future apart from what God says, when you worry about things and place all kinds of things in the future in your head, that's not true. That's false. That's false. Where we find truth is in God's word. And we need to remind ourselves that, wait a second, what I'm thinking is wrong, Lord, I'm sorry. What does your word say? What do you say about the circumstance? What do you say about what I should be thinking, how I should be responding? And it takes work. And you know, it's a battle. It's a fight. Because we walk by faith. We believe what we read. We walk by faith. We believe what we see in the Word of God. But it is the good fight of faith. Whatever is true, we need to cast aside our preconceived notions, not just speaking of general truth. You know, the world will say, you know, all truth is God's truth. And that's not true. There is wisdom that is from the world that may appear to be true, but it is void of God's wisdom. Therefore, it is, as James would say, earthly, natural, and demonic. God's truth comes from, as we saw, God's Word. And we saw that the very characteristic of the living God is truth. We see in Scripture that the Father is true. We see in the Word of God that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that the Lord Jesus spoke of the Spirit of God, calling Him the Spirit of truth, the one who will disclose the things of Christ to us. The things of the Father, the things of Christ, the things of God to us. Whatever is true, the things of God are true. He is true. The things of Christ are true. We know from Titus chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 6 that it is impossible for God to lie because He is characterized by truth. He is the source of all truth. And truth is found in the Word of God. That's where we find truth, because I may look at my circumstance and observe it correctly, but my conclusions in my heart may not be true if it is not based on what God has said. You see, the world functions by what they perceive and look at. They don't add in the truth of God. And so here we see whatever is true, and we find truth from the Word of God. Turn to Psalm 119. Let's start up a little ways at verse 142. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, the psalmist writes, and thy law is truth. Psalm 119, 151, thou art near, O Lord, and thy commandments are true. They're true, as opposed to false, right? Psalm 119, 159, consider how I love thy precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness. 160, the sum of thy word is truth. And every one of thy righteous ordinances is everlasting. God's word is true. When Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, was praying, he prayed and he revealed in his word that he prayed, sanctify them in thy word. Speaking of his disciples, thy word is truth. You see, truth sets me apart from sin. God's truth, when it's running through my heart and mind, when I believe it and act upon it, it separates me in a sense. It makes me more like Christ because he is the way, the truth, and the life. And when we are trusting in Christ and His truth is manifest in us, we will be more like Him. We saw that we are to be dwelling on whatever is true. And so when difficulties come or don't come or whatever it might be, when you start thinking of things apart from what God has said about them, you need to correct yourself. Whatever is true. That's where my mind needs to be calculating and thinking about and logically working through. I need to take the truth and apply it to my life. That's the foundation for the categories, I believe, of where our hearts and minds should be thinking, where we should be dwelling, where our hearts should be dwelling. Let me ask you, does your heart dwell in the truth of God? It takes work. It takes work. Now, some people do it mechanically or rote or whatever it is. I'm talking about a real relationship where you're really wanting to get His truth in your heart. Do you take out His word in the morning? Do you want to be renewed? I tell you, it's a battle. When I get up, I've got a million things I want to think about. I got all kinds of stuff I want to check. We have all this stuff on our phones we can look at right now. But by God's grace, He's given me a determination, and I want to keep that because it's His grace, to look at His word first, to renew my mind first, because I know I will stray if I look at other things. And so we need to do that on a continual basis. Allow His word to change our hearts. And then it's in your heart, and then it's dwelling in you in a sense, so that it can be used by God at the right time, that He can remind you of those things by His Spirit and teach you the truth. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. So whatever is true. Now let's take a look at the rest of this list here, and we're going to go a little faster than we did last week concerning whatever is true. We just summarized that in a few minutes, but we spent the whole time on it last week. So do you want to get a CD on that? We'll have that out front there for you. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. So the next one is whatever is honorable. Honorable. The term speaks of that which brings forth or calls for respect. That which calls for respect or honor. The word is used three other times in Scripture. It's used in Titus chapter 2 to speak of older men who are to be dignified or honorable. It's spoken of deacons, now male and female. We know that only elders are men, but deacons are servants. It's spoken twice, once about men, once about the women, to be dignified. Be dignified, same word, honorable. That which calls for respect. So obviously, older believing men and deacons are to be worthy of respect, okay? It's a characteristic that is in the life that is yielded to Christ and thus manifesting his character, because God is dignified and honorable and worthy of respect. God meets these qualities. He is worthy of our honor. He is worthy of our respect. He is honorable. And so we are to be thinking about whatever is honorable. Now, in the corollary fashion, there are things that are dishonorable, right? There are things that are not honorable, and we can dwell on those things, can't we? I'm not saying that we ignore the reality of our fallen world, that we ignore the sin around us, or we ignore our failures. I'm not saying that. But there are things that are not honorable that we can dwell on. You see, when we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We are to press forward, not looking back, forgetting what lies behind. The Apostle Paul did not dwell on what was not honorable in his life. He used it to describe what is honorable. All that was lost, but now I've gained Christ. That's what's honorable. You see? And so we need to be thinking of those things that are honorable. And there's a lot of dishonorable things. I believe you can see them on TV all the time, right? Things that are not honoring at all. They're dishonoring. We need to think of whatever is honorable. We are to dwell on those things. And when we find those dishonorable things, if they're in our lives, we need to confess it, and we need not to dwell on them. We dwell on a great, gracious God, worthy of all honor, who has forgiven us of our sin. Gracious God. Whatever is honorable or dignified. So then we make sure our hearts dwell upon whatever is honorable. Let me ask you, sometimes everything that we think about isn't honorable, right? Whether it's what happened to me, something did this or that, or, you know, what I went through here, it's not honorable at all. I'm not saying we ignore reality, but we need to see things from a right perspective and apply God's word to it. So as we're thinking throughout the day, you might come across the thought, ooh, this isn't honorable. Lord, I'm sorry. Whatever's honorable. Let his word remind you when those things come up. Let his word remind you. I get convicted. I think of an attitude towards something I see in the news or whatever. An attitude is not honorable at all. I think, Lord, that's wrong. Forgive me. Whatever is honorable. Notice he gives the third category here, whatever is right. Now, this word translated right, dikaios in Greek, refers to that which is right, righteous, upright, or just. Right, righteous, upright, or just. The things that are right are those that conform to God's righteous standards as revealed in the Word of God. And the first thing we see is that God is righteous. He is right. He is upright. He perfectly conforms to his own righteous standards. In John 17:26, Jesus prayed to the Father, O righteous Father. We know that the Father is faithful and righteous or just, same word, to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He does the right thing when we confess our sins. He is faithful to do it. He is faithful to forgive us. We know that Jesus Christ is called the righteous one three times in the book of Acts. And he is our advocate. He is Jesus Christ the righteous in 1 John chapter 2. John says he's writing these things that we would not sin. But if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You see, the most wonderful thing happened. You see, the scripture reveals that none of us are righteous, not even one. We're not right at all before God. We're sinful. And yet God sent his righteous Son. His Son took on human flesh. He lived the perfect life. He humbled himself, becoming a man. And he went to the cross, being obedient to the point of death. And he was sinless. And he bore the penalty for us. All our sin was put on the righteous Son of God. And when you trust in Jesus, us as wicked sinners receive the rightness or the righteousness of Christ. Whatever is righteous. Think about Jesus. Think about the standing we have in him now by his grace. Think about who he is, whatever is right. Then also we can see in his word the right things to do. Whatever is right. Whatever is right. There's so much wrong out there. And I can dwell on it. I can dwell on those things. Folks, don't dwell on what is wrong. Dwell on what is right. I'm not saying ignoring what is wrong. I'm saying obey the word of God. Whatever is righteous or right, let your mind dwell on these things. And we've got to catch ourselves. Wow, my thinking is not right, Lord. This is not right. This is not just. This is not right, Lord. I'm sorry. Help me to see it from your word. Whatever is right. Whatever is right. I can give you some practical examples. Things that aren't right. And the word will reveal it to us. We know that the world says that certain things before marriage is just fine. But that's not right. That's not righteous. That's not honorable. The world says it's okay to be angry if someone's done something wrong to you. God says the anger of man does not achieve the rightness of God, the righteousness of God. It doesn't work that way. We need to give it over to the Lord and let him take care of it. Scripture reveals so clearly what is right. And so we need to think about that and dwell. Let your minds calculate. Think about, process whatever is right, whatever is just, whatever is upright, whatever is righteous. Primarily it has to do with God and his will and his works and his ways. But what's the fourth one here? Whatever is pure. Now, immediately when we think of purity, we probably think of sexual purity. That's usually the thing we think of right away. And that's certainly true, but this goes way beyond that. The term translated purity here is hagnos. And it basically speaks of that which is free from sin. That which is free from sin. You think about a metal that is pure. It is free from contaminants. It is free from impurity. Do you think about metals? They can be pure metals, right? And so this here, pure, speaks of whatever is free from sin. I don't want to think about the sinful junk. I want to think about what's free from sin. The things of Christ and the things of what he has done. What he's done in our lives, what he's done for us, what he's going to do for us. In the book of Proverbs, we have this word used in the Greek Old Testament translation. And he says, Proverbs 20:29, who can say I have cleansed my heart that I am pure from sin? It's usually related to sin. We have in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 22, the exhortation to Timothy, keep yourself free from sin. And it's actually our same word. Keep yourself pure, Timothy. Keep yourself pure. Are you mixed with sin? Not just the biggies, but what God says is sin. When we don't trust him, when we are fretting, when we're worrying, when we're angry. What are those things? Are we pure from that? You can be just by confessing. Because he's faithful and just to forgive us. You can be set free right away. And when you do fail, which we will fail, confess it again. It's whatever is free from sin. And we see those things in Scripture. We see that God's word is that which brings forth what is pure, by the way. Turn to James chapter 3, verse 13. Who among you is wise and understanding? Let us show by his good behavior, his deeds, and the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant so as to lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure. It's not mixed with sin. Whatever is pure, I want to look at God's word. I want to look at his wisdom. I want to gain his understanding from his word. Whatever is pure. The wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Whatever is pure. Psalm 12, verse 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace on the earth, refined seven times. So if I want to be thinking about whatever is pure, I want to look at something that I know is not mixed with sin. And it's God's word, his truth about him, his will, and his ways, and his works. And now if God is going to make us pure ultimately when we're totally redeemed, when we get our new bodies, when we're glorified, that's a motivation to be pure right now. 1 John 3. Actually, let's turn there. 1 John chapter 3, right near Revelation, near the end of your Bibles. 1 John 3, verse 1. See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet appeared what we shall be. We know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him just as he is. And everyone who has this hope fixed on him purifies himself just as he is pure. Someday we will be completely separated from sin. You see, when we trusted in Jesus Christ, we were forgiven of our sins. We were declared righteous, but we still have these bodies of flesh that will be ultimately redeemed also. And they will be pure from sin. And that's the direction God is taking us. And so in that sense, we want to be pure. It motivates us to want to be righteous now, to trust him, to set aside the wickedness, to confess it, to be more like Jesus Christ. So how do we find what is pure? It's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. And it centers around the person of Christ, his work, his ways, and his will. And that even which is manifest in his people when Christ is doing it. Set your mind on those things.
If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. And Greg's message today is from his series in the book of Philippians. Now, you can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as you wrapped up your message today, you talked about the importance of putting those things into our mind that are pure. And I got to tell you, when I take a look at what's available on TV or movies or even music choices, it doesn't seem like much qualifies as being pure.
You know, Dave, you're right. There are a lot of impure things on TV these days. And unfortunately, it's almost impossible even to watch commercials these days without seeing wickedness and ungodliness. And folks, this stuff is tempting, but we need to be men and women of the Word, saturated with God's Word so that we can filter everything that we see through the context of His Word. Brothers and sisters, there's a lot of stuff out there you should be turning off in your TVs. There's a lot of things in the Internet you should be avoiding. Well, does this mean we become monks and turn off all the media and hide in a cave with our Bibles? Folks, we are to be in the world and not of it. And if what you're watching on TV causes you to think worldly or is tempting you, then you need to turn it off. And if you're not in the Word of God, saturated in it, you're not going to realize when you're being conformed to this world.
Maybe some of you have been conformed to this world through what you've focused on TV or whatever it might be. You need to just go before the Lord, confess to Him your sin, and turn from those things and saturate your mind with the Word of God. Read it, study it, just soak it in. We're commanded not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our minds.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again on Monday, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.